Today's daf is Beya Daf Lamed Ches, and we are 7 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, Amash Shmuel. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refua Shalema for Shlomo Ben Zara Aliza, Avadya Ben Miriam Leia, Moshe Abba Ben Devora, Devora Bas Mecha, Shmuel Ben Tehila, Elio Zeb Ben Brindel, Mordechai Eliezer Ben Esther, Chaim Arab Ben Fega, Etta Malka Bas Miriam, and Tamar Bas Chasida from Arifka. Today's daf is also being learned to Iloy Nishmas, Miro Bas Reb Moshe. So we're continuing to discuss the current sugya, which is the laws of Tchumen as they relate to Yontif. So just like on Shabbos, a person is not allowed to walk outside of the Tchum, so to on Yontif, a person is not allowed to walk outside of the Tchum. Just like on Shabbos, a person's possessions are bound by its owner's Tchum, so to on Yontif, the halach is going to be the same. The Mishnah on Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Aleph discuss different details in that general halacha that habehema v'hakelim karagle habaylim, that a person's animal, a person's keli, are bound by the person's own tchum. So on that note, Zok de Gemara, 7 lines from the top of Daf Lamed Ches Amud Aleph. Amar Shmuel, Shmuel said, Shor shel patam. A patam was a person that professionally was mefatim shvarim. He would fatten oxen. And very often, he would sell oxen. So someone that's a patam, and on yontif he sells a shor, the halacha is, harehu kiragle kol adam. The halacha is that any person that buys this shor is allowed to take the shor and move it wherever his own tchum is, meaning the tchum of the shor that belongs to the patam is going to be the tchum of the person that bought the shor. Shor shel raya. If a shepherd owns a shor and he sells it, harehu karagle oysa ha'ir. So then the halacha is that the tchum of the shor is bound by the city in which the raya lives. So whatever the tchum of his city is, that's what the tchum of this shor is going to be. And even if the person that buys it lives in another city, it doesn't matter. That person's tchum is going to be based on whatever the tchum of the raya is. So there's a subtle difference between a patam that sells a shor and a raya that sells a shor. A patam that sells a shor, the person that buys it, regardless of where he lives, even if he lives in a different city, he ends up getting his own tchum. Meaning the shor itself could be taken and carried wherever the person that bought it is allowed to go. Whereas if a raya sells it, the raya's shor's tchum is not going to be based on the buyer of the shor, but rather it's going to be based on the city where the raya lives. And Rashi says the difference is that the patam's primary source of income was he would sell shvarim. The raya was really a manager. He would watch other people's animals. Sometimes on the side, he would sell shvarim. The difference is that when somebody was a patam, people would sometimes come from other cities to buy things from him. If somebody's a raya, you're not going from one shtetl to another shtetl to buy a shor from the raya in the other town. His business wasn't as well known. Some of the locals would work out a deal with him on the side, but this is not something that he necessarily did professionally. As a result, when it comes to determining the tchum, the patam knows that people may come to him from anywhere. And as a result, his tchum is based on anywhere. It doesn't matter who buys it. That person ends up getting his own tchum. As it relates to the raya, being that the understanding is that someone from another town is probably not going to buy his shor, so therefore the assumption is that it's going to end up being within the city, so therefore its tchum is going to be based on whatever the tchum of this city is. So the Mishnah said, what happens if somebody borrows something from somebody else? One person owns this item, another person has the schus to use this item, simply because he's a shayl. So when it comes to tchumen, is the hilchas tchumen of this item based on the owner, based on the mashal, the one that loaned it? Or is it based on the shayl? It's based on the borrower, the person that has the right to right now use it. What did the Mishnah say? It depends. If the she'ela took place before yontif, so bein hashmashes, which is where kinyan shvisa takes place, that's when the laws of tchumen go into effect. If at that time it was in the possession of the shoil, then harehu karagli ha-shoil. Then it's going to be based on the shoil. If, however, the she'ela happened on yontif, which means bein hashmashes, when the laws of tchumen went into effect, it was in the position of the mashal, so then the hilchas tchumen is going to be based on the mashal. Says the Gemara, shoil kli mechamer meyer v'yontif. Somebody borrows a kelim meyer v'yontif, the halach is the tchum is based on the tchum of the shoil. It's obvious. If the shoil is the one that had it, Bein Hashmashes, he's the one that had the rights to it, so of course it's based on his tchum. Meaning, it should be so obvious the Mishnah shouldn't have even had to say it. So the Gemara says, "Leitzricha." There's a little bit of a chiddush. It's talking about where the she'ela happened erev yontif. The contract was written before yontif. But Lamaisa, the shoil didn't take possession of this thing that he borrowed until yontif. I would have thought Labishu say ukme, being that he physically didn't have it before yontif. So maybe we look at it as if it's in the rishus of the mashal bein hashmashes again, which is when the laws of shvisa go into effect, and therefore it should be based on the tchum of the mashal kamash blan. That's the chiddush, that even if the shoil didn't actually take possession of it until yontif, still as long as the shoil happened before yontif, the tchum is going to be based on the shoil. And the Gemara says mesayele the Rabbi Yochanan. If this is in fact in the Mishnah, it's not furish in the Mishnah, but if we assume that this is the chiddush of the Mishnah, it would be a support to something Rabbi Yochanan said. Rabbi Yochanan, shaylok mechaver meir v'yantiv. Somebody borrows a keli from his friend in erev yantiv, even though we didn't give it to him until yantiv. The law is, as it relates to tchumim, we look at it based on whatever the shoyl's tchum is. Rabbi Yochanan said this chiddush mefurish. Really, this seems to have been Rabbi Yochanan's chiddush. It's not a Mishnah, it's not a Braisa, but says the Gemara, we do have a Mishnah that said something that at first glance would seem to be obvious. There must be some Chiddush going on over here. Maybe the Chiddush is Rabbi Yochanan's halacha. Then not only if the Shoyl took possession Erev Yontif, do we say Hareu Karagli HaShoyl, but even if he took possession on Yontif, as long as the Shela happened on Erev Yontif, that's enough to say Hareu Karagli HaShoyl. The Mishnah then said, B'Yontif Karagli HaMashal. If the Shela takes place on Yontif, so then it's not Karagli HaShoyl, it's Karagli HaMashal. The principle underlying this is very simple. Whoever had it, bein hashmashes, the laws of tchumen are going to follow whatever is tchumes. But the Gemara asks the same kasha pshita. It's obvious. If the mashal had it, bein hashmashes, then on yontif, the shoyl borrowed it. Is there a havamina that somehow the mafreya we can say that it's going to be based on the tchum of the shoyl? So the Gemara says here too, there's a chiddush leitzricha the ragel v'shal mina. This person that borrowed this item on yontif, he's a ragel v'shal. He's someone that always borrows this item. Mao the tema, therefore, I would have thought, being that this person every single day is always knocking on his neighbor's door, can I borrow X? This always happens. So you would have thought that even though bein hashmashes, it was in the rishus of the mashal, but you know, it's just a matter of moments before the shoyl ends up taking it. So maybe it should be based on his kamash malan. That's not the way it works. And the reason is, meimar amar, because we say, dilma mishkach ina shachrin avaz v'shal minei, as much as it's true, this person always borrows this item, but lav dafki, he'll always borrow it from his neighbor. And even if up until this point he has, but maybe he found someone else to borrow it from. Maybe that would make him more comfortable. He doesn't have to go back to the same person. Regardless, there is a svar to say that maybe he's not going to come back. And that's the chiddush of the Mishnah, that if it was in the rishus of the mashal, bein hashmashes, even if this is something where it's just a matter of time before the mashal ends up lending it, still, as it relates to tchumen, it's going to go based on the rishus of the mashal. V'chein ha'isha sheshala mechaverta. And then the Mishnah concluded with an interesting case, a machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. The case was, ha'isha sheshala mechaverta. I'm reading from the Mishnah, two lines from the bottom of Lamed Zayin Amar Aleph. A woman borrowed from her chaverta, from her friend, tavlin, spices, mayim, water, melach, salt, lisasa. She's making challah, and she wants to add these spices, she wants to add water to her dough. The halach is, hareu kerag lishtein. As it relates to tchumen, the tchum of the challah is going to be based, sai, on the tchum of the shoyl, inside the tchum of the mashal. What's the point? The point is that this challah is made up of ingredients that were in two different places, bein hashmashes. The woman had the dough, her friend had the tavlin, the mayim, and the melach. The isa is bound by the tchum of the shoyl. The tavlin, the mayim, and the melach are bound by the tchum of the mashal. Right now, you have a challah that's a taruvos that's made up of different ingredients that have different chumen. So hareyelo karagle shteyem. The halacha is this challah is now going to be subject to both chumen. What does that mean? You can only take it to a place where both of the chumen overlap. But if you don't have such a common area where both chumen overlap, lo yuzizenamim kaima. Then the halacha is you wouldn't be able to take it anywhere. Rabbi Yehuda poiter b'mayim. Rabbi Yehuda argued specifically by water, and he said the nation ain't that mamish. He said water has no mamish. We'll see what that means, and it's because of that Rabbi Yehuda argued. But we're going to focus from here until the end of the daf on the sheet of the Chachamim. Chachamim sheeta is that a woman who's making challah, the challah is made up of two components, her dough and the tavlin mayim or melach of her neighbor. Her neighbor had her tchum, she had her tchum. So how do you treat the hilchas tchumen of this taruvos, of this challah? The Mishnah, the Chachamim say, harei elu karag lishneim. We reckon, we have to take into account the tchum of the isa, and we have to take into account the tchum of the mayim, the tavlin, and the melach. Zok de Gemara, an absolutely fascinating story. And this Gemara that we're going to learn now is really, from a lumdis perspective, as we'll see, hafachba, vafachba, the kulutba, there's fascinating ideas in kamat every single line of the Gemara that we're about to learn. We'll do what we do, but regardless, says the Gemara, Kisalik Rabbi Abba, when Rabbi Abba went from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael, so Rabbi Abba was one of the Chachmei Talmud that lived in Bavel, and he went to Eretz Yisrael. And before he went to Eretz Yisrael, Omar, he recited the following tefillah. He said, Yehei Rav, the Eima Milsa de Tiskabel. He wanted that when he comes to Eretz Yisrael, he should have the schuz to say Torah, that people would be Makabel. He wanted to be well received. And he said a tefillah, he davened to the Eibishta, Ata choynein l'odom das, choneinu meyitcha chochma bina vadas, haroitza lahachkim yivakish rachamim imisha chochma shaloi. And this is what he did. He said, Yehei Rabba, the Eima Milsa de Tiskabel. He saw Glosslan, when Rabba came to Eretz Yisrael, Ashkechile Rabbi Yoichanan, Rabbi Chanina bar Papi, Rabbi Zeir. He saw Rabbi Yoichanan, Rabbi Chanina bar Papi, Rabbi Zeir. The Amrilo Somse, he saw Rabbi Avo, Rabbi Shimon, and Pazim, Rabbi Yitzchak Nafcha. Regardless, he saw three of the great Chachmei Marava, three of the great Chachamim that were living in Eretz Yisrael. The Yosmi, the Kamri, and they were sitting, handling, and learning, and they were learning this Mishnah that we just learned. Be'ed Aflam, Ezayin, Amaral. The Kamri, and they asked the very obvious question. They said, a woman borrows Mayim, or Melach, or Tavlin to mix with her dough. What's the halacha? Hareyu Karag Lishtayim. To the extent that her neighbor had a different tchum than she has. So right now the challah has to take on not only her tchum, but even the tchum of her neighbor. So the question was, why don't you say bittul b'rayv? Why don't we say that the mayim, the melach, should be bottled to the Isa, and if they're going to be bottled to the Isa, so its tchum will be bottled as well, and all we should then have to worry about is the tchum of the shayl. Why are we cheshbening the tchum of the mashal? Because we see Mayim, we see Melach. So these Amiram were bothered. What happened to Bittul? L'chura, Bittul b'rayv. That's a principle that underpins and governs Kol HaTorah Kulo. So why should Tchumen be any different? We should say Bittul on this ingredient, and as a result, it shouldn't be here. Amalu Rab Abba. So Rab Abba told them. So this is Rab Abba's first thing that he's going to say. He just came to Eretz Yisrael. He was clearly a little bit worried about how his Torah was going to be received. He said a tefillah, and Rab Abba comes to the Olam, and he says, quote, Tareshin is Arav le'kav chitin basor, kav chitin shal chaveira, yoichel halav achadi. He asked them rhetorically. He says, I want to ask you a question. What would be if somebody has 10 kabim of chitin? Kab is a measurement. He has 10 kabin of chitin. And then his friend had one kav of chitin, and it got mixed up with his 10 kavim of chitin. So now you have 11 kavin. 10 of them belong to Reuven, and one of them belongs to Shimon. So he says, I'm going to ask you a question. Should you say bittul b'rayv? Yoichel halav achadi? Should Reuven be able to just eat all 11? He's the rayv. He has 10. Shimon only has one. So say that Shimon's one is bittul to Reuven's 10, and as a result, he should be able to eat all 11. Now, he said it rhetorically because Rav Abba knew the answer. Rav Abba said, of course not. Bittul b'rayv works in the world of Issa v'Heter. Isurim can be bittul b'rayv. But there's no bittul b'rayv when it comes to mamin, when it comes to who the Bailam is. Tipas chalav shenaflo l'kdeira. So you're right. You have a little bit of dairy, you have a lot of meat, so there's a sugya of tam ke'ikr, and bittul b'rayv, and bittul b'shishim, and lach b'lach, and yavish b'yavish, deiraisa, the rabbana, rabchai. Right, you have all the sugyas. But what happens if Reuven owned the tipas chalav and Shimon's the one that owned the k'deira? Then it would be different, because now there's a Choshem Mishpat piece as well. And Rav Abba told the Chachmei Marav that that's poshet, that you can't say bittul. So what was the punchline? The punchline was, Memela, there's no bittul regarding Tchumen as well. Why? So he said, Hafla v'fela. He said, because what determines Tchumen? The Mishnah said on Daf Lamed Zayin Amar Aleph, it's our Mishnah, HaBehema V'Akelim, Kiragle habaylin. It's based on the baylin. So he said at the end of the day, the baylus of the woman that loaned the mayim and the melach is not batal. If the baylus is not batal, then the tchum can't be batal either. Because the tchum is just an extension. It's a toitzah of baylus. So to the extent you can't be mevatal her baylus, say, so how are you going to be mevatal her tchum? So that was the answer that he gave. Meaning, you're right. Theoretically, you should say bittul b'rayv. But this is different because this halacha is really a toitzah of baylus. And if there's no bittul on the baylus, there's no way to have a bittul. So Rav Abba said something very geschmack. So what was the reaction of the Chachmei Marava? Says the Gemara, Achichu Ala. They started laughing. Amaluhu. So Rav Abba told them, Gulsaichu Shakli? Did I remove one of your begodin? I took off your gulsa? Is that why you're laughing? He was being a shtickle sarcastic. So the Gemara says, Hadar Achichu Ala. They started laughing even more. Am Rabbi Shaya. So the Gemara says, years later, the Amiram discussed this story. And Rabbi Shaya was present. And Rabbi Shaya said, Shaper Oved Achichu Ala. I understand why the Chachmei Marava laughed at Rav Abba. He said, why? He said, I'll tell you what was bothering them. Because if you look carefully at what Rabbi Abba said, he said, the Chachmei Marava were being medayak l'shoyne yazov shal Rabbi Abba. He said, Rabbi Abba was talking about where one kav of one person's chitin was nisarev with 10 kavin of somebody else's. And his point was, of course, there's no bittul. Because bittul can't be mevatul din mamoin. Bittul can't be mevatul bailas. Very gishmak esvar. But the Chachmei Marava were wondering that why did Rav Abba pick a case of mimba minoy? Why did he say that the case was where the kav chitin was nisarev with asora kabin of chitin? It sounds like that had the case been minba she'enoy minoy, had it been chitin b'sa'orin, then Rav Abba would have never said a svara. As if to say, Rabbi Abba, who's coming with a major gishmak is svara, that there's no bittul b'rayv when it comes to mum, and there's no bittul b'rayv when it comes to bailas, is only saying it when it's mimba minoy. But to the extent that it's mimba she'enei minoy, he's going to agree that really there is a bittul. Now the truth is that in the world of bittul, there is a nafgamina between a bittul of mimba minoy and a bittul of mimba she'enei minoy. In fact, there's a shitas Rabbi Yehuda in Shas that holds mimba minoy is loy batal. Which means then, on the Tanoim level, a mimba minoy is more chomer than a ironically, in halach, it's actually just the opposite. But on the Tanam level, there was a shitas Rabbi Yehuda that held that mimba minoy is leibatal. So they held that it sounds a little like Rabbi Abba saying that when it comes to a mimba minoy, which is a more chomer type of bittul, so over there there's a svara to say that there's no bittul on bailas. But if it would be a mimba she'enoy minoy, there even Rabbi Abba would be moida that there is a bittul on bailas. Now, by the way, this is just an important knach in Pashim Shana and the Gemara. If Rabbi Abba was saying his svara dafka might mimba minoy, and it's by mimba minoy that he's saying that there's no bittul when it comes to bailas, but maybe by mimba she'enei minoy there really is. That means Rabbi Abba, who said the svara to explain our Mishnah, held that the mayim and the melech kapi the isa is mimba minoy. And even though you could have argued that it's mimba she'enei minoy, but he seems to think it's mimba minoy. But the bottom line is, said Rabbi Shaya, you want to know why the Chachmei Marava laughed? The reason was, again, because Maishno Chitim Vesoyrin Dolei Kam Elohu, why didn't Rabbi Abba say his mashal by Chitim Vesoyrin? Because Tavalei Mimbish Einoi Minoi, Mimbish Einoi Minoi Batol. Because he held that that's a taruvus of Mimbish Einoi Minoi, that's an easier type of taruvus to say Batol. And over there, the halach is it would be Batol, even the Din Mamun. So the taina was, then Chitim Vechitin Ami. So as it relates to Chitim Vechitin, it should be the same thing. Why? Because you're going to tell me Chitim Vechitin is more chamer? Now the Rabbi Yehuda Lei Batol, it's true. In Rabbi Yehuda's world, there is a Rabbi Yehuda Shita in Shas that holds Mimbi Minoi Lei Batol. But the Rabbanon don't agree with Rabbi Yehuda, and according to the Rabbanon, the halach is that mimba minoy is batal as well. So that's why they left. They left not so much because of the substance of what Rabbi Abba said, but because they felt that even Rabbi Abba, who was saying a svara, was a shtickle insecure about it. Therefore, he was only saying it by mimba minoy, which he thought was a tzush tzotar mishnah, because he held our mishnah as mimba minoy. But at the end of the day, that's why they laughed. They said, Rabbi Abba, that's the way they learn in Bavel. What? You're being chayish for a chilik between mimba minoy and mimba she'enei minoy. The only tan in Shas that holds mimba minoy is more chomer than mimba she'enei minoy is Rabbi Yehuda. And we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. That's what Rabbi Shaya said. So when they were recounting the Amiram, this Maisa Shahoya Kachoy that happened when Rabbi Abba came to Eretz Yisrael, so Rabbi Shaya said, Chashtei v'chachmi marava. I understand why they reacted the way they did. Amalei Rabbi Safra. So Rabbi Safra told Rabbi Shaya, Moshe Shaper Ka'amrit. Now Rashi says Moshe is a Lashon Shvua that Rabbi Safra swore Ki'ilu in the covenant of Moshe. In different places in Shas, we've spoken about this in the past, Rashi says that the Gadol Adar was sometimes referred to as Moshe. We said maybe that's why no one had the name Moshe in Shas, because Moshe was a title that it seems you had to earn. You couldn't just be Yikari Shmai B'Yisrael. But either way, so Rabbi Safra tells Rabbi Shaya, Moshe Shaper Ka'amrit. He said, Ki'ilu, you don't hear what Rabbi Abba is saying. Don't you know? If somebody takes tzroiros from his friend's goyren, so somebody had a goyren, meaning he had a pile full of tfuah, and there were some rocks inside. Somebody else goes and he stole the rocks. So you would think he's potter. Rocks don't really have value, and as a result, he shouldn't be a gazlan. Not only is he a gazlan, but he has to pay the value of chitin. The reason is, alma, because kilo chasri, because we say a svara, that this person that has a pile of chitin, when he sells his chitin, the buyer always knows that he's going to be getting some rocks inside. It's just the way it works. Chitin always comes with rocks. And he pays for it, knowing that that's just built into the cost. But the point is that when the seller measures and weighs his chitin, he's allowed to include the rocks inside of it because it's understood that that's the way it is. Therefore, if somebody steals the tzroiris, even though the tzroiris in and of itself don't have value, but ki lachasre, you're lessening the share a little bit. As a result, you're causing the meicher a hefsid, and therefore you have to pay. So, Reb Safra Tainid, Hachanami, here too, Kilachasre. Here too, you should say Kilachasre, and you should say the same exact svar. Now, it's very, very unclear what exactly Reb Safra's tushal is, but let's just go through the Gemara. Number one, Reb Safra's just trying to make a very simple point. Reb Safra told Reb Oshia, he says, Chvashteinish. He said, Reb Abba came, and he saw the Olam was pondering this question. Why don't you say Bittul in our Mishnah as it relates to Tchumen? Reb Abba said, Geshmak is far. He said, there's no Bittul when it comes to Mammon. There's no Bittul when it comes to being Mevatel, the bailus of a person. He said it by Min be Minai. The Chachmi Marava wanted him to say it even by Min B'Sheinai Minai. So Mechakwa Allah B'Marava. Everybody started laughing. Say it there. But at the end of the day, Reb Safra said, Reb Abba saying a good Svara. Good, you want him to say it even by Min B'Sheinai Minai. It's a lach. But at the end of the day, he's saying a good svara. This is the teretz terakash, l'chayra, right? L'chur, this is the teretz terakash. But Reb Safra had a bavarn. He wanted to preempt a taina. And that is, he said, the only argument you can make, the way I see it, against Reb Abba's svara, is that maybe you're going to say that to the extent that there's a bittul on the mayim and the melach, so the mayim and the melach are now insignificant, so memela, the bailus has to go away. Meaning, in svara, you shouldn't be able to be mevatel a person's bailus. Unless you're going to tell me that bittul, what it does is, it takes away the chshivas of an item to such a degree that it doesn't pass bailus on it anymore. Because the thing is bittul, so memela it has no shavis. On that, Reb Safra said, I have a raya from this halacha from Reb Chiya K'tosva. Because you see the tzroiris, which in and of itself also has no value. There's no intrinsic value to the tzroiris. But afak pikin, there's a svara when it comes to hilchis chayshamish, but kilo chasre. So you see that even something that doesn't really have a chashivus, but at the same time can have a din mamon. So too, even if you'll tell me there's a bittul, but l'chura din mamon it should still have. And to the extent that it has a din mamon, that's why there's a tchum. So Reb Safra told Reb Oishni, I understand, the Olam was laughing, and the Olam didn't really like what Reb Abba said, but if you think about it, it's ganz mistaber, it's a very geschmacka thing that he's saying. Amalei Abaya. So Abaya told Reb Safra, V'leishoni le'lamar. Interesting that Abaya refers to someone other than Rabbi Azmar. So he tells Reb Safra, V'leishoni le'lamar be'momen she'esh le'toivim, le'momen she'ein le'toivim. He said, I still think there's a chilek. You know what the chilek is? It's true. Maybe all your lumdus that you're saying that when it comes to Svar is a bittul bailus. Here's the problem. The problem is that the cases where this woman on Yontif had loaned the Mayim and the Melech to her friend. Once she loans the Mayim and the Melech to her friend, right now she has no schus in the Mayim and the Melech. Now, it was a she'ela, so maybe it's going to be returned at some point. But right now she doesn't have it. And because she doesn't have it right now, so l'chura, it's like mamon she'en lo taifin, and as a result, she shouldn't have any schus mamon. And if she has no schus mamin, then memelo, the whole premise of saying that her tchum should be reckoned with is not a taina. Meaning Abaya said that if the mashal really had a schus mamon right now, then I hear everything that you're saying. Rabbi Abba is saying a geshmak esvara, Rab Safra's knetch to explain it. It's very, very nice. The problem is right now, l'chur, she doesn't have a schus mamon. So if right now she doesn't have a schus mamon, so l'chur, it's like mamon she'en loy toivim. So you said, l'shanu le l'marbin mamon she'yesh loy toivim, l'mamon she'en loy toivim, amale. So Rab Safra, listen to what Abaye said. And Rab Safra understood that Abaye was saying a new svara. He was saying that it could be any time this mamon she'yesh loy toivim, there's no halacha of bittul. Mamon she'ein loy toivim, that's when you're going to have bittul. Mamon she'yesh loy toivim, then there isn't going to be bittul. So he told him, l'tamech, according to you, Hadam, Rav Chizda said, nevela betela b'shchuta. Nevela is batul b'shchuta. Now Rav Chizda was commenting on Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, that we just mentioned a few lines ago, who holds that mim b'she'ein amina is batul, but mim amina is loy batul. So Rav Chizda said, that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you have a piece of nevela, that was nisarav with shchuta. So, at first glance, you would say, it's obvious, it's pashut, it's a min b'minay, they're both meat. What's the difference if it's nevela shchuta? That's min b'minay, it's the same exact min. But Rav Chizda said, no. If nevela is batul b'shchuta, then the halach is, there is a bittul. Why? L'fi she'i evshel l'shchuta, she'tasa nevela. Because we look at the nevela and the shchuta as being different, and the reason we look at them as being different is because one is nevela and one is shchuta. That's enough of a reason for them to be considered different. Now, he added that it's impossible for the shchuta to become a nevela. That's obvious. Once an animal is a shchuta, it can't become a nevela. As a result, we look at it as being different than the nevela. It's min b'she'enai minai, and Rabbi Yehuda holds its batal. However, shchuta ain't a betela b'nevela. But if you have a shchuta that was in sarev in a nevela, with the roiv of nevela, so then the halach is it's not batal. And the reason is, because it's possible for a nevela shetasa shchuta. Now you can't take this line out of context, because it sounds like you could take a nevela and somehow kasher it and convert it into a shchuta. That's not really true. But what is true is that on some level, a nevela can become mutter, because the halach is that if the nevela is nois and tam lefgam, or if something happens to the nevela where it's not royal achilas ger, it's not royal achilas kelev, at that point it could be, won't be treated anymore as macholis asur. So being that it's possible for the nevela on some level to be treated as a shchuta, so we look at the nevela and the shchuta as being the same in. And therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the halach is min b'mino lay batul, this is not going to be batul either. So what was the taina? So the taina was, Ochinami. So he said, the Rab Safra Tabaya, the Chies Lebayim Lebotel, you're going to tell me that this case of Bittel that we just mentioned, to the extent that there's a two different Bailim as it relates to the Nevela and the Shchuta, the halacha is that it's not going to be Bittel. And again, all these Gemaras are not easy. But the big picture, what Rav Safra was telling Abaye was, Abaye, you seem to be saying, that it could be that when you have mamin sheyesh loy toivim, then there's no bittul. But our Mishnah is mamin sheyein loy toivim, and therefore there's going to be bittul. But you're saying, Abaye, that when the mamin is yesh loy toivim, there's no bittul. If that's the case, that should really have an impact on every single case of bittul and shas. Because every single time you have a case of bittul, you should have to start cheshbening the bailam, because the bailam is going to play a role in whether you say bittul or whether you're not going to say bittul. And he said, that's untenable. There's no way that's the case. Again, we're going through this gemara a little quickly, but there's just two things you have to speak out, because it's impossible to even go to the next word without speaking them out. Number one, if all Rav Safra is telling Abaye is that it should come out that every single time you have a cheshbin of bittul, you should have to start figuring out who the bailam is. So why did he pick such an interesting case? Nevela betela b'shchuta, shchuta ena betela b'nevela. It's a Rav Chizda's memra, aliba de Rav Yehuda. I don't know. Pick any case of bittul and shas. It's going to come out that every time you have a case of bittul, you have to know, is it mamin she'esh loy toivin or is it mamin she'ein loy toivin? It's very, very good kasha, and the Mefarshei HaGemara struggle to understand that. The other kasha, which is a plea if you're holding cheshbon, which is Tosfos kasha, and that is Rav Safra is asking on Abaye, that according to you, Abaye, that you're telling me that there's a chilek between mamin she'esh loy toivin and mamin she'ein loy toivin. So every single time you have a bittul, you should have to cheshbon. Is a mamin she'esh loy toivin or is a mamin she'ein loy toivin? As if to say, according to me, Rav Safra, Kol Beseder. But according to you, you have a lot of answering to do. Because you just literally created this incredible wrinkle in every single sugya of bittul and shas. Frey Tosfos, it's good according to Rav Safra. It's even harder according to Rav Safra. Because Rav Safra was saying that even by mamin she'ein loy toivin, Rav Safra was coming to defend Rav Abba. Rav Abba was the one that said, you want to know why there's no bittul in the Mishnah? Val sindah bailin. And you can't be mevatel a person's bailus.
I said, Abaya, it's Mamin She'en Loi Toivim. I don't care. Even Mamin She'en Loi Toivim. Frank Rav Zafra Tabaya, according to you, there's a difference between Mamin She'esh Loi Toivim and Mamin She'en Loi Toivim, where it's Mamin She'esh Loi Toivim, Stach Cheshbening Bailas. I don't understand. According to Rav Zafra, even where it's Mamin She'en Loi Toivim, you have to Cheshben Bailas. Abaya wasn't mechadish this idea that there's no bittul when there's bailas, just the opposite. Abaya limited it. Abaya said that there is such a concept, I agree, but it doesn't apply to our Mishnah because it only applies to mamon sheyesh loy toivin. It doesn't apply to mamon she'en loy toivin. Rav Snafra is explaining Rav Abba, who had a much broader definition of how you apply this, and that is you apply it even by mamon she'en loy toivin. So if this is a kasha on Abaya, frey toisvis kol shekein, it's a kasha on Rav Snafra. Ayin Toisvitz, it's Negei, Poshim Shan, and the Gemara, but this Alzen Nemar Ayin Shom. But either way, so the Gemara says, so what was Rav Safra's Kasha Tabaya? So Rav Safra asked Tabaya. We literally coined the phrase for this Toisvitz. No, but Ayin Shom. So Toisvitz, I'm going Abaya, so Rav Safra told Abaya, he says, I don't say, you're going to tell me that my mom and she ate Shloi Toivin. You don't have Halacha of Bittul. So if that's the case, every single case of Bittul, you have to start cheshbening it. And then he said, "V'chitei mahachinami," meaning I'm assuming in my question that this is untenable. You're going to tell me, no, okay, mechateisa, chavchen gehert azal chachedushin. But I have another problem. So, Tanya, we learned to the Brisa. I'm Rabbi Yechon Menuri. Rabbi Yechon Menuri said, "Chavtzei hefke koinim shviso afal pishne ein lohem bailim doim ekamishi yesh lohem bailim." Rabbi Yechon Menuri said that when it comes to tchumen, even something that's hefker is koinim shviso. In other words, Safra told Abaya that even if you're going to tell me that this woman, the chavrito, that loaned the maim, that loaned the melach, she's out of the picture. Why? Because she relinquished her rights now during Yontif, and as a result, she's a mamon she'en lo toivim. So even if you're going to tell me, svara, that bailas can't be a bottle, but this is different because over here, she walked away. True, but at the end of the day, there's a shittas Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri that holds that even something that's hefker is koinei shvisa. This can't be worse than hefker. And if hefker has its own shvisa, then this should also have the shvisa. Meaning, there's a concept that wherever Hefker was Ben Ashmashis, it's kind of that Shviso. So too, the Mayim and the Tavlin should be Loigara from Hefker, and it should have its Shviso of where it was Ben Ashmashis, which again is different than the Shviso of the Shail. So at the end of the day, you're in the same place. So the Gemara says, Amale, Abaya told Reb Safra, and this is really the final clause in this discussion. He said, "Mika medamis isura lemamoina." He said, "I don't agree with you, Tzushtal, anyways. Isura batal, memoina loy batal." And this is a very, very geshmak etayna. And let's just recap this together in a very simple way. And that is, Reb Abba comes to Eretz Yisrael and he sees the oilam, they're handling and learning. They're asking a very, very stark akasha. They're asking, the Mishnah says that a woman's making dough, she borrows some ingredients. Now the halacha is that the tchum of the challah is going to be based on not only the dough, but even this ingredient, the salt that she borrowed from her neighbor. So the Amiram were bothered. This is bittul b'raif. Why don't you say that the tchum of the salt is bottle to the general tchum of the dough, of the challah, and as a result, it should be bottle. So Rav Abba came, Rav Abba said a svara. His svara, bekitzer, was that being that tchumin is a toitsa of bailas, meaning, how do you determine an item's tchum? Behema, the hakelim karagle habailin. And bailas is not bottle. So it's true, you could be mevatel isurim, but you can't be mevatel bailin. So if Reuven has 10 kavin of chitin, and Shimon has 1 kav of chitin, it's poshit Shimon's ownership is not bottle. Shimon owns 1/11 of this taruvos. It's bottle, there's no bittul on mamon. So he said, if there's no bittul on mamon, and tchumen is a toitsa of mamon, so memela, he said, that's why there's not going to be a bittul. Amale Abaya, the last line, Abaya tells, Rabab, I hear what you're saying. I hear all the lumdas. I'd rather hold this a chilek between mamon sheyesh loy toivim and mamon she'en loy toivim, but I hear what you're saying. But here's the bottom line. Mikom in damis yisur lemamoyna. At the end of the day, you're right. The bailis of this chavrito that owns the mayim and the melech is not bottle. No one ever said it should be bottle. That wasn't the kasha that the Miram were asking. They were asking that there is a tchumen that comes as a result that should be bottle. And that's the machloikis between Rav Abba and Abaya. That's the machloikis between Rav Safra and Abaya. That's the machloikis Rav Abba and all the Amiram that were achicho aleh on Rav Abba and Rav Yishaya b'soichem. The machloikis is, do you say that being that tchumen is a result of mamoin, It's a result of bailis, and bailis is not batal. So if bailis is not batal, so memela, the tchumen shouldn't be batal either. Or do you say, it's true that tchumen is a result of the bailim, and you can't be mevatal the bailim, so this chavrita still owns the mayim and the melach, but at the same time, the iser of tchumen that comes as a result of the bailis, why can't you be mevatal that? And that was a bias taina. Bias said, mikam edamas yisur lamamayna. At the end of the day, you're still taking the leap, because you're saying that being that the iser is a result of the mamon, therefore it's not batal. The bottom line is that Amiram had a kasha. The kasha was, why don't we say bittel? What was Rabbi's teretz? Rabbi's teretz was, there's no bittel because there's no bittel when it comes to bayos. Abaye didn't like the teretz. It says the Gemara, according to Abaye of a time of mine. Meaning, Abaye now is going to have to say a new teretz. Abaye doesn't like Rabbi's teretz. You have to be Miyash of the Mishnah. Why don't you say bittel? So the Gemara says three teretz. Abaye said, gzeira shematasa isa b'shutfis. It was a gzeira. The gzeira is that what happens if two shutfim together, so you have two women, b'shutfis, they own the ingredients to this challah, and they go ahead and make a challah. That's different than a shoyel and a mashal. Here you have two shutfim. That's poshet that the tchum is going to be karagli ha-shutfim. So over here, you're really going to have to chesh. Rav Amar Rav is a tavlin, the time ma'avidi, the time loy batal. Tavlin is something that's supposed to give taste, and the rule is that tavlin is a filo b'alof loy batal, so there's no bittel over here. You wanted bittel. All these things that we're adding over here are being put here letam. I mean that they're put letam, so it's for that reason, that's not going to be a teretz. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi said, Mishum dehavle dove sheyesh le matirin, v'chal dove sheyesh le matirin, a filo b'alof loy batal. You want to be mevatal? What? The isetchum? Isetchum is something that's only negei on yontif. But tomorrow it's not going to be Yontif anymore. So tomorrow you're not going to have the Issa Tchumen. So it comes that the whole Issa Tchumen is a Dovah Sheyesh Matirim, and a Dovah Sheyesh Matirim, Afilu Be'elef Loi Batal. So two Ha'aris, Be'ezus Hashem, as it relates to today's daf. And that is, the first Ha'ara is, the Hilig Chasam Sofer, in his Chidushim, in Mesechtes Be'ya, he asks that Reb Abba came to Eretz Yisrael. And he said a tefillah. His tefillah was Yehirava de Eima Milsa de Tiskabel. Incidentally, the Chasam Sofer says that why did Rabbi Abba feel that he had to say this tefillah? So he says, Pshat, based on a Gemara, in Mesechtes Ksubas Daf Ayin Hei, a Gemara that we've talked about in the past, where the Gemara says, Amr Abaya, Vechad Minayu Adif Kitre Minon. The Chachmei Bovel understood that the Chachamim that were living in Eretz Yisrael were greater in learning than the ones living in Bovel. This was the Messiah that they had. The Chad Minayu, Adif Kitre Minon. One Chacham in Eretz Yisrael is Mushtark. He's a bigger Lamdan than two of the Chachamim living in Bavel. And for that reason, Rabbi Abba was intimidated. And because he was intimidated, he said a tefillah, and the tefillah was, Yehirava de'ema milsa de tiskabel. The Meister, Rabbi Abba goes, and he sees that the Chachamim are talking and learning. They ask a bombakash, and Rabbi says a geshmak de teretz. But the Oilm didn't like his teretz, meaning his prayer wasn't answered. His Torah was not niskabel. To the contrary, the Gemara says they started laughing. Achichu aleh. Rabbi Shaya said, Shapira avodah achichu aleh. They mamish made a galachta. And the whole thing that Rabbi Abba was worried about ended up playing out. Mamish. Law of attraction. What he was concerned about, reminiscent of the Maral that we spoke about in Mesechtes Yuma. Everything that he was concerned about actually ended up happening. Afraid to Chasam Sofer, what's pshat? He said a tefillah, an erentz to erlich a tefillah. Why would this have backfired? And the Chasam Sofer says something that only the Chasam Sofer could say. He says it bekitzer in his Chedushi Chasam Sofer writer al Hashas. He says it a little bit wordier in his famous tshuva, in Erechaim tshuva Reish Ches, that he wrote to Rab Tzvi Hersh Chayes. And he said the reason is because Rab Abba said a tefillah, but he didn't say the right tefillah. He said, what was Rab Abba's tefillah? His tefillah was, Yehei Rava, that the Eibishter should make it the Tiskabel, the Eima Milsa the Tiskabel, that my Torah should be in the Tiskabel. Said the Chasam Sofer, Ma loyim tekabel and loy. Why was Rabbi Abba davening that his tefillah should be in the Tiskabel? Why did he care? Why did it matter if his tefillah, if his Torah was going to be in the Tiskabel? Amar dvarecha l'shem shamayim. The only thing Rabbi Abba should have been concerned about was he should have been saying his Torah l'shem shamayim. And had he said his, and that's what he should want. A yid's job is to do what he needs to do. If it's niskabel, if it's not niskabel, doesn't nishnai cheshben. That has nothing to do with him. That's not his avodah, and that shouldn't even be his tefillah. So he says, take a look in the Mishnah, Mesechtes Brachos, Daf Chaf Ches Amud Beis. The Mishnah over there says that Rav Nechunya ben Akana, every single day when he used to enter the Beis Medrash, he would say a tefillah. Now, That was his tefillah. It was a tefillah that he should say Torah that's emes, and that he's going to try his best to make sure that he gets everything right. If the Olam is going to like what he's saying, if the Olam is not going to like what he's saying, that wasn't Rav Nachumya ben Hakana's geshaft. He didn't really care about that. He wasn't trying to look good in the eyes of his chaverim. What he was trying to do was, he was trying to be zoichet, to learn Torah, l'shem shemayim. And he said a tefillah, yehi rabbi, that I should be zoichet, to learn Torah, l'shem shemayim. So he said, Rav Abba did not recite Rav Nachumya ben Hakana's tefillah. His tefillah was, yehi rabbi, de'ema milsa de tiskabel. That's what his tefillah was. That I should have the schus to say a milsa de tiskabel. And he said that wasn't the right tefillah. And because that wasn't the right tefillah, he says that's why his tefillah wasn't answered. Al kein nichshal de mechaku al kol dvar. And he says it's poshet that the reason Chazal told us this whole story. He said because really it wasn't necessary. This is a hard enough Gemara, right? Without all those knitches. Really, the Gemara is just trying to make a point. The lamda shashayla as it relates to bittul when it comes to bailas. And the Gemara talks about how they laughed and then they laughed again. And then Rabbi Yishai said, shaper over the for the fact that they laughed at him. Why was this all necessary? It's because the Chazal wanted to be megala to us that really the way Rab Abba was, again, you have to be the Chassam Sofer to talk this way, but the way Rab Abba was mispal and the way Rab Abba went about it wasn't really the way he was supposed to go about it. The context in Masechet Beis Daflam et Ches, the Chassam Sofer is saying a word on the Gemara. Over here in the Tshuva, he was talking to Rab Tzvi Hershchayes, because Rab Tzvi Hershchayes in their back and forth seemed to have been talking about the idea of writing Sfarim, and the Chassam Sofer again said something very, very sharp. He said that I hold that when a person writes a Sefer, he has to make sure that he's writing it L'Shem Shemayim. And he linked too that really once upon a time there was an Issa to write Torah Shabbat Peh. But Eis Lasle Slashem Heferu Torah Secha. And because of that, Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, they were matted to write the Torah Shabbat Peh. So the Chassam Sofer said that Eis Lasle Slashem, if a person writes it L'Shem Shemayim, then Heferu Torah Secha, then you have a right to be made for the Torah. But otherwise, it's actually not okay for a person to write Torah Shabbat Peh. So writing Torah Shabbat Peh is not a free-for-all. He said it has to be with a cheshbon. So the Chassam Sofer said very sharp that if it's Eis Lasle Slashem, if it's L'Shem Shemayim, then a Feirut Teresecha. Otherwise, it's not a Feirut Teresecha. I saw in the Lekutei Ha'aris, that's the classic six-volume work that was put together by a team of Talmidei Chachamim on Tshuvas Chassam Sofer. So on this Tshuva right here, in the Lekutei Ha'aris, so he brings that maybe this is a little bit of a shaychus to what they bring in the Sefer Chotam HaSholish from Rav Nosson Adler, the Chassam Sofer's Rebbe, who Rav Nosson Adler didn't write any Torah. We've spoken about the Mishnayos Rav Nosson Adler that the Ksav Sofer had, but he didn't write any Torah. He used to write Pintalach and very, 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 very Bekitzer. Actually putting out some of his Sfarim now, some of his Torah, but it's very, very Bekitzer. But either way, so he wrote Torah very, very Bekitzer, and in Chutam Mishulish they say the reason is because he held that why you let to write Torah Shabbat Peh? Because people were forgetting Torah. Rav Nosson Adler never forgot his learning, and because he never forgot his learning, so he felt he didn't have the heter of Eis Lasleis Lashem Heferu Torah Secha. So this is a little bit Me'inyan Le'inyan Ba'is in you with the Chassam Sofer saying that it's not just a hefker that you can just write, but there has to be a reason. Rav Nosson Adler held there was no reason because he never forgot. There's some sort of dechuyah. It's not a hutra, it's a dechuyah. And as a result, there's some cheshbonus, but regardless, this is what the Chassam Sofer says as it relates to Rav Abba. As it relates to the second Ha'ara, we'll try this for the second time, and that is that the Gemara on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis, going back to the epic Mishnah, which discussed that just like all the Isurei Torah of Shabbos are Asur on Yontif, so too the Isurei Derabbanon of Shabbos are Asur on Yontif as well. In fact, the Mishnah said, Kol Shechayav Enolav, Mishum Shvus, Mishum Rishus, Mishum Mitzvah, B'Shabbos, Chayav Enolav B'Yontif. Anything that's Asur Midrabbanon, whether that thing is Asur because it's a Shvus, whether it's something that's a reshus, whether it's something that's a mitzvah, if you can't do it on Shabbos, you also can't do it on Yontif. And then the Mishnah went on to give examples of shvus, examples of reshus, and examples of mitzvah. So just to refresh, what's shvus, what's reshus, and what's mitzvah? Shvus is something that's completely arbitrary. It doesn't have any shemets of mitzvah. Reshus is something that's a quasi-mitzvah. A mitzvah is something that's a full-fledged mitzvah. And again, the Mishnah gave examples of ve'elohem mishum shvus, ve'elohem mishum reshus, ve'elohem mishum mitzvah. When the Mishnah mentioned the reshus, so the Mishnah said, loy don, a person not allowed to pask in a shayla, v'loy mekachin, you're not allowed to be mekadesh and isha, v'loy you can't do chalitza, v'loy yibum, and you're not allowed to do yibum. So freak the Gemara, skipping to the last line of Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, v'loy mekachin, the Mishnah says you're not allowed to be mekadesh and isha on Shabbos, therefore you're also not allowed to be mekadesh and isha on Yontif, and it was included in the category of Rishus. Right, the Gemara, Rishus?
for a mitzvah ka'aved. It's a mitzvah. And being that it's a mitzvah, so based on that, l'chayra, you should, it's a mitzvah. So why is it included in the category of rishos? L'chayra, it should be included in the category of mitzvah. So the Gemara said, Loit tzricha de isle isha banim. It's talking about where this person was already married. This person already had children. So for him to now have more children is really not a mitzvah. It's a rishos. It's a ktsas mitzvah. Ayin Rashi. But being that it's not a full-fledged mitzvah, it's for that reason that it was included in the category of rishos and not included in the category of mitzvah. So that's the background that we need to revisit the raid that didn't happen 2 days ago. That is, there is a tshuva in Shailos Tshuvas HaRamah. It's in Tshuva Kuf Chof Hei. It's an epic tshuva. It's maybe the most famous tshuva in Tshuvas HaRamah. The truth is that in some old editions of Tshuvas HaRamah, this tshuva is not Tshuva Kuf Chof Hei, but this tshuva is Tshuva Kuf Chof Dalet. And the reason this tshuva was tshuva kuf chav dalet and not tshuva kuf chav hey, because in some older editions of the tshuva haramah, tshuva's kuf chav dalet was censored. It was taken out. It doesn't exist. It's actually fascinating. If you go through tshuva kuf chav dalet, which I'm tempted to do, but if you go through tshuva kuf chav dalet, the topic over there was, people wrote to the Ramah that there was a certain city in Europe, the city of Merin, where they were being makel, they were being negligent, they were drinking stam yenom. So everybody knows, this is Yiddishkeit, Hilchas Kashrus 101, that you're not allowed to drink the wine of an Eini Yehudi. Even if an Eini Yehudi just touches wine, there could be problems. Yai Nesach, stam yenom, chasnos, sugyos, aruchos, and festos in Mesechtes Avodah Zarah. But Allah is stam yenom is aser, according to some, even aser ba'ana. It's a very, very big deal. And it seems that there were Balabatisha people in the city of Merit, and they were nichshol, they were drinking stam yenam. And they asked the Ramah what to do. So Ramah wrote a tshuva, and the purpose, the objective, the mission statement of the tshuva was to be melitz yosher, to be able to, on some level, verenfer the custom of the Yidden of Merit. And he went on to write a tshuva that it could be bezman hazeh, you have a right to be mekel on stam yenam. Now the Ramah prefaced the tshuva by saying that I'm a little afraid to say what I'm about to say, but I quoted Rabbi Yochanan, who said in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, Oyliyim Agid, Oyliyim Lo Yagid, and he felt that if he wouldn't write the tshuva, maybe it would be even worse. Therefore, he's going ahead and he's writing the tshuva, and he has disclaimers that make sure that you don't really take too much from this. But the bottom line is the Ramah, this is the point of the tshuva. He wrote a tshuva saying that it could be bizman hazeh, there's no problem of stam yenam. What was it based on? Two main things. Number one, there's no real Oyvdei Avodah Zarah bizman hazeh. So if there's no real Oyvdei Avodah Zarah, you don't really have a chashash yayin nesach. And then he said that one of the reasons Chazal was so machmer when it comes to stam yenam is they were worried about chasnos. They were worried that it may lead to intermarriage. He said that pas Chazal were mekel on, even though it may lead to intermarriage, midina de gemara. And the reason is because it was chayin nefesh. The yidden needed it. They had no choice. There was no other way to get bread. So memela, because it's chayin nefesh, we looked away of a chashash rochuk that maybe it's going to lead to chasnos. So he said, maybe the Yidden and Merin, they need to come onto the wine of the Eini Yehudim. They have no other Eitzah. And maybe for them, the wine is chayin nefesh. There's a koyach they had teira and simen kuf chav dalet that's loyu umen kiya super. Either way, apparently there were people that weren't very happy with this tshuva, and they took it upon themselves to censor this tshuva. And there's many, many old editions of Tshuva HaRamah that doesn't have it. But regardless, nachzul inyonenu, whether it's tshuva kuf chav dalet, or whether it's tshuva kuf chav hey, the Ramah, in the beginning of this tshuva, told the following story. The story was that there was a girl who was a yesaima. Her mother had passed away, and whose father was meshadach her. Apparently he was a wealthy person, and he promised the chassan a very significant nadin. Unfortunately, during the course of the engagement, the father lost his money, and then afterwards, he lost his life. So when it came closer to doing the shidduch, this woman, this girl was a yesoima, both from her mother and from her father. And not just that, she was going to be coming into her marriage with a nadin. At this point, there was no nadin. She was the oldest in her family. She didn't even have any older siblings to take care of her. And as a result, there was a little bit of a question whether the shidduch was going to happen. So she had an uncle. He was the closest relative, the Ramah says. And he took it upon himself. He's going to be the goyel. He said, I'm going to make it my business. I'm going to make sure that this girl gets married. And he promised the nadin. It came closer to the chasana. Things started getting a little bit shaky. And literally, boy by yoim, the day of the wedding, the chasin decided he's out. He backed out. He's walking away. He said he's not comfortable. He doesn't want to stand under the chuppah. There was a big tumult that broke out. Askanim got involved. They tried pushing him. They tried working on the nadin. After working and negotiating for hours, the chassan finally said, I'm asking. He's willing to get married. He's willing to say, Hareyat Mekudesh Aslikah, that's Moshe B'Yisrael. The problem is, the chassan was scheduled to happen on an Erev Shabbos, which was the minig in Europe. Very often, weddings took place on Erev Shabbos. So Erev Shabbos was when the wedding was supposed to happen. And by the time the Askanim were able to piece this back together, it was already Friday night. In fact, the Rambam says it was an hour and a half into the night. So it was Shabbos already. And that's an issue. The reason it's an issue is because it's a Mishnah. The Mishnah says, you're not allowed to get married. You're not allowed to be Mekadosh and Isha on Shabbos. And if you're not allowed to be Mekadosh and Isha on Shabbos, so based on that, Lechura, there was a very, very obvious problem. Afal Pikein, the Ramah said, this wedding is happening. And I'm officiating it. Atem Eidai, he was the one that oversaw this marriage, and this couple got married. After this chasana took place, there was a terrible, terrible coil and a tumult, and people started hacking and schmoozing and saying with Bekairis and Taroimis that the Ramah, he was very, very young at the time. Ramah was young when he passed away. He was very young at the time. He had just overseen, they had officiated a wedding that violates, forget Allah and Shulchan Aruch, a Mishnah. It says, V'loy Mekachin, you're not allowed to get married on Shabbos, can't get married on Yom Tov. So how could the Ramah have done that? And it got to the point where the Ramah felt that he had no choice, but he had to write a Ksav Hisnatzlus. He had a justify what it is he did. So he said it's for that reason he's writing Tshuva Kuf Chav Dalet or Kuf Chav Hey, and he said this is the Tshuva, this is the background. What I did was not just frivolous, it wasn't done with a hefkeris, it was done with an incredible cheshbon of diktuk, and I want you to know exactly why it is that I did. And the first thing that the Ramah discusses, and that's really very much negeya the sugyas here in Masechtas Beis, is that this whole idea that it was usher for this man to marry this woman because it was Shabbos is not so pasha. And really, it's based on a machloikis between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. So the Mishnah said, loy donim v'loy mekachin. And the Gemara asked the kasha. Gemara's kasha is, v'mitzvah ka'ovid. What do you like, loy mekachin? V'mitzvah ka'ovid. Now Rashi explains the Gemara the way we explain the Gemara. And that is, v'mitzvah ka'ovid, the Mishnah categorized loy mekachin as one of the things that are mishum shvos. And the Gemara's kasha is that if it's a mitzvah, so why are you calling it as a rishus? L'chayr, it's a mitzvah. Meaning the Gemara's kasha was a technical question. That the Mishnah says, v'loy mekachin ve'elohe mishum rishus. Freak the Gemara, v'ha mitzvah kavod. So why are you referring to it as a rishus? And the Gemara's teretz is, like tzricha disla ishu banim. And because it's ishu banim, it's not a mitzvah. All it is a rishus. But if you look in Tosfos, Dibra Maskel v'ha mitzvah kavod, the bottom Tosfos on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Beis, Tosfos brings Rabbeinu Tam a different shot. A whole different shot in the Gemara. Rabbeinu Tam learned the Gemara that when the Gemara asked the kasha v'ha mitzvah ka'avid, the Gemara didn't mean to ask that why are you categorizing it as rishus, you should categorize it as mitzvah. The Gemara was asking a much starker kasha. The Gemara's kasha was v'ha mitzvah ka'avid, and because it's a mitzvah, it shouldn't be aser to be mekadesh and isha on Shabbos. You're doing a mitzvah. And because you're doing a mitzvah, Shem Yikad Meno Achar, Puruvu is a mitzvah gedoyla, it's a mitzvah rabba, and it's because of that you should be allowed to get married on Shabbos. And for the Gemara, like Tzricha Disla Yishu Banim, this man is married already, he has children, Memel, there's no mitzvah, because there's no mitzvah, therefore it's awesome. But the way Rabbeinu Tam explains the Gemara, the kash of a mitzvah kavod is not why are you putting it in the bucket of rishus, put it in the bucket of mitzvah. It's not a technical question. The kash is a kash. Why is it in the Mishnah? Why is v'loy mekachem aser? It shouldn't be aser. It's a mitzvah rabba. It should be mutter. For a mitzvah ka'ovid, you should be allowed to be mekadosh and isha on Shabbos. And for the Gemara, loy tzricha disla isha obanim. Abuzok Rabbeinu Tam, kafi the way I'm learning the Gemara, it comes out, let's say you have a man that doesn't have an isha obanim. There's no iser v'loy mekachem. There would be no iser for that man to be mekadosh and isha on Shabbos. In other words, we have two very, very different pshatim and how to learn the one line of Gemara on the bottom of Lamed Vav Amud Beis. The Mishnah said, V'loy mekachin. Freik the Gemara v'a mitzvah ka'ovid. And for the Gemara, loy tzricha desa isha obanim. Rashi learns that the kasha of the Gemara, the maksha, what he wants, is of course it should be asa to be mekadosh and isha on Shabbos. But why is the Mishnah referring to it as rishos? The Mishnah should refer to it as mitzvah. Good. The teretz is, the isla isha obanim. And a chanami, if there was no isha obanim, it would have been asa, not as a rishos, it would have been asa as a mitzvah. B'seder. The way Rabbeinu Tam is learning the Gemara, the kash of a mitzvah kavod is it should be mutter.
And for the Gemara, what would be if this man didn't have Yishu Banim? According to Rashi, it would be Yasser, albeit it would be in the category of mitzvah. According to Rabbeinu Tam, it would actually be Mutter. And the truth is that Rabbeinu Tam himself, and the Ramah quotes this in the Tshuva, in Shailas and Tshuva, Sefer HaYosha, the Rabbeinu Tam, and this is in Tshuva Memches of Katan Yod, Rabbeinu Tam said, quote, Ulekadesh Isha B'Shabbos, L'mishne Ein Loi Bonim, B'Dieved Hi Tarti. I was matered. Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam said, I was matered to allow a person to get married, assuming he has no Bonim. B'Dieved. V'afilu L'katchilo Im HaYotzayr Chasha. And sometimes even the katchil, if this is something that was necessary. So said the Ramah, the esh ma'acharei kol rash godol, asher haviru kol b'machin aloymer, habitu achrei Moshe. That Moshe, the Ramah, did something so terrible. What did he do? He officiated a marriage that happened on Shabbos. Said the Ramah, it's an offer to Rabbeinu Tam. And Rabbeinu Tam himself in Sefer HaYosha said that he paskin that way. So really, all I did was, is I issued the psak of Rabbeinu Tam, who said that if the chosin has no isha ubanim, which this chosin didn't have, in that case, it's mutter, albeit b'shas atchak, to get married on Shabbos. I said the Ramah, at first glance, it's keneged a mishnah, a medaf learn in Rashi, medaf learn in Tosfos. You have to learn the sugya. Rabbeinu Tam has a different mishnah in Rashi. And he says, granted, the Rishonim don't learn like Rabbeinu Tam. And l'katchila, I would never go with this Rabbeinu Tam. But b'shas atchak, sedor Rabbeinu Tam. And Rabbeinu Tam himself said, he tarti, I myself was matter. Sometimes even the katchilam hayotzar chasha. So he said, quote, kedai hu Rabbeinu Tam lismachal b'shas atchak. He says, you can't argue with that. That kedai Rabbeinu Tam lismachal b'shas atchak. And as a result, this was lanias daiti b'shas atchak. And therefore, I'm going to be soymich on Rabbeinu Tam. But Ramah said that, why do I think this was such a shas atchak? Why was this such a shas atchak? Why was this such a shas atchak? And this is where you see, and we've spoken about this in the past, you see a certain sensitivity in the Ramah. The Ramah says the reason he believed this was such a shas atchak is because he was so concerned about the embarrassment that this girl was going to have. He said, because back in the day, the Kala, she would wear a heinuma. The Mishnah talks about it in the second parak of Masechtas Ksubis. And this kapaluch, this heinuma that the Kala used to wear, would have been impossible to take off on Shabbos. Which means she would have been wearing her whole kala throughout the whole Shabbos. And the Ramah said, can you imagine how embarrassing that would have been? Is it because, why is she wearing the heinuma? People are going to say, the chasana didn't happen yet. She should take the heinuma off. The Teretz says, no, she didn't get married yet. And the reason she didn't get married yet is because the chasana was backing out. Why? Because of the whole background and everything that happened. He said, you're going to be mevayish this girl? And he said, besides, when should she get married? When do you want the chasana? You want it to happen on Sunday? He said, only the Neutrim have chasanas on Sunday. He says, no, the Yidden didn't get married on Sunday. So you should have this girl have to get married on a Sunday? So she's going to have to remember her whole life that she got married on Sunday. Why? Because of this Maisa Shaya Kachaya. It's like, this is going to be a zikaron for her forever to remember the bezyonis that she had. So the Ramah said that I was so worried about her bezyonis. He said, Shalei levayish bas Yisrael haguna kamti v'sidarti ha-kedushim bizmanana. So he writes. He said, that's why I did it. He said, I did it because I wanted to spear this girl the bezyoinus. So I said, you know what? Let's go. Let's make the chasana. And then he said, besides, he said, the truth is there were other mitigating factors as well. Meaning the ikar of the tshuva of the Ramah is based on Rabbeinu Tam and Har Gemara. Be'ed aflam edvav on the days. Where Rabbeinu Tam says that if a person doesn't have an ishu ubanim, mitzvah ka'avid, there is no isra of alay l'kadosh. And just like Rabbeinu Tam was soymichanin himself, b'shas atchak, the Ramah felt that if Rabbeinu Tam can be soymichanin, I can be soymichanin. So that was the ikar, and the shas atchak was the bezyoinus. But the Ramah said there's other svaras as well. One of the svaras that he says is again, this is Pasha going through the Gemara here, Masechtas Beya. The Gemara says, why are you not allowed to be mekadosh an isha on Shabbos? Like donim, and the Gemara gave the same reason for all four of these things. The reason is, we're afraid that you may come to write. Meaning, loy mekachim is a gzeirah shem yichtav. What's the shem yichtav? So Rashi says, the shtar erisin. Inami, ksuba. There are things that are written at a chasana. And because of that, there was a gzeirah of shem yichtav. So the Ramah said, adavar nifla. He said that Yesh Loimar, that once upon a time, the minig was that the chasim would write everything. So the chasim was the one that he would write the Shtar Erisin, he would write the Ksuba. That's the way it was. Today, no, it's not like that. Today, you hire a cipher, someone that's professional, he knows how to write these things. But today, the chasim, he just shows up, right? The chasim is not the one that writes it. So this is something that's already written. So said the Ramah, that it could be when the chasim used to write it, sometimes he would write it at the wedding. Now that someone else writes it, that person probably comes prepared. As a result, there's less of a reason to be chay shem yichtoy. But he said even a bigger lumbus. He said, gzeir shem yichtoy viz, if I'm the bala maisa, there's a concern that I may do an aver, right? What's a classic zayr that we always talk about? Shem yavi renu dalad amers b'shuzarab, right? So a person needs to take dalad minim. He needs to hit a megillah. It's Purim shecholiyas b'shabbos. So there's a gzayr, he may carry his megillah. Is there a gzayr that if Reuven needs to hit a megillah, Shimon may carry a megillah for Reuven? Chazal were never chayish for such a thing, said the Ramah. They were always chayish that the person that needs something, he may go ahead and do it incorrectly. And that's a chashash that Chazal had. He said the chosu wants to get married, so Mimel the Sofer is going to start writing a ksuba for him. Mechatesi. He said, Chazal never made such a gzera. So said the Ramah, once upon a time there was a gzera shema yichtav. But today there's no gzera shema yichtav. Number one, you come prepared. For oid, the chos is not the one that writes it. So if the chosin doesn't write it, mechatesi, you have a right to make a gzera that the Sofer is going to go ahead, a major svara, and be mechal Shabbos on behalf of the chosin. You have no right to say that. There's no precedent anywhere in Chazal, said the Ramah, to do such a thing. He says, you're going to tell me that I hear. So Chazal said, Lay Mekach. And they said, Lemikachin Shema Yichtov. Now there's no Gzeir of Shema Yichtov anymore. Therefore, you're allowed to get married? Echatesi. Who said that's the case? Maybe once Chazal said it's a problem, it remains a problem. So Yishteltzu a Toisvis that we glossed over when we went through the Dafin quickly over Yontif and Beya Daflamed Amad Aleph. The Mishnah says, Ein Metapchin Ve'ein Meraktim. Right? That was one of the things mentioned in the Mishnah. You're not allowed to clap, you're not allowed to dance. And the reason is, the Gemara said, Shemi Yisakin Klimono. And Toisvis in Mesechtis Beya Daflamed Amad Aleph says, Umiyu Lididan Shari. Today it's mutter. Tosfos said that it's okay today to dance. Again, this is a whole shmooze. He says, because the dafka be a mayim show you bikin lasses klei shir. Once upon a time, where they were baki, they knew how to make a klei shir shayich l'migzar. It made sense to make such a gzeir. Aval edidon, ain't on a bikin lasses klei shir. We don't know how to make klei shir anyways. And therefore, like shayich l'migzar, it doesn't make any sense to make such a gzeir. So the Ramash dealt through this halacha. He said that just like the Bali Tosfos said, that there's no shemi yisakin klimane today because the metzias is different. So too, there's no gzeirah shema yichtav because the mitzias is different. But either way, said the Ramah. Number one, Av Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam, who himself had a different pshat in the Gemara, and he said, he tarti, I was soymich on it. So kedai Rabbeinu Tam, listen mechol b'shas adchak. Why is this a shas adchak? He said it's a shas adchak because at the end of the day, you have this Bas Yisrael who's going to be embarrassed. The inlocha shas adchak gedoy v'mizu. He said, v'oy, the whole reason Chazal said loy mekachin is because it gives gzeira shema yichtav. He said, the whole gzeira shema yichtav, you could be mefakfikam bezman hazeh. Ah, you'll tell me, who said you have a right to do that? Tosfos did. There's a precedent for it. Tosfos daf lamed amud aleph. Toys said, Eim etabchin, Eim erakten, is not something that people are nizerin today. Why? Because the gzera of Shem Yisak and Kliman is not something that's really relevant. So, Mimil, Yesh Loimar, as it relates to gzera Shem Yichtoy, this is not relevant either. And besides, the Ramah said that once we establish that there's a Kavod Abrius component, once we establish that there's a bezoinus over here that may come about to this woman, this girl, then we can say that even without Rabbeinu Tam, Godol Kavod Abrius, Shadoicha Loisasei Shabbatayra, when it's a Loisasei Derabbanon, Kavod Abrius is Doicha, and again, he said, either way, it's a beautiful tshuva in the Ramah. He goes through a whole bunch of different reasons why he did it. But the bottom line is, he said that as it relates to the psak, yeah, at its surface, it seems very controversial. In fact, it seems like it's Kenegan a Mishnah. But really, after further review, as much as it's Kenegan a Mishnah, it's only Kenegan Rashi's understanding of the Mishnah. But there was another pshat of the Mishnah, and that's Rabbeinu Tam's pshat of the Mishnah. And granted, Rabbeinu Tam was a shitas hayochid. He's a das yochid as it relates to this pshat. But kedai Rabbeinu Tam lismechol b'shas adchak. And he said, besides, we could be mefakvik on the whole gzeira of loy mekachim b'zman hazeh shem yichtav. There really is no shem yichtav today. And we could be mefakvik. Maybe we can argue that Godol kovet abriyah shendoicha loy saseh shabbatayra. So he said, as it relates to all these things, he says, I stand 100% by my psak. And he says, I did it because of what happened with this woman, and he says, as it relates to the shmua that people are talking about, and they're saying that I went ahead and I allowed this wedding to happen. So he quoted another Gemara in Masechtas Beya. He said, Kol kihani mili ma'al yisolemru mishmoy. He says, halavai, I should have the schus that people should always say over such things in my name. Halavai, zogis iber, print it. This shouldn't be censored. This should be printed. And you should always say over this halacha. Say over that the Ramah, and it's mamash what he writes. He says, you should say that I was mater, this girl, because I wanted a spear for his bezyonis, and I wanted to make sure that she wouldn't be embarrassed. Just to end,
with one hergish, and that is, we've spoken out many times that Rav Lozer Fleckless, who is a Talmud Muvik of the Noida B'Yehuda, in the Shailos HaTshuvas, Tshuva Me'ahava, and this is in Chelik Beis, and it's in Simen Shinchof, so in Chelik Beis, Simen Shinchof, he writes that Shamati mi Mori v'Rabbi Hagoyin, Rabin Shal Yisrael, Nishmosan b'Gan Eden Elyon Hine, and referring, of course, to the Noida B'Yehuda. And the context over there was glatt kosher. So they're discussing glatt kosher. To your dude, there's a machloikis between the Beis Yosef and the Ramah, what the definition of glatt is. The Ramah was a mekel, and the Beis Yosef was a machmer. That's why glatt Beis Yosef meat is more expensive. That's why it's a little harder to... It's more chashuv, because from a chumra perspective, it's more chumra. So the Ramah was mekel when it comes to glatt kosher, and the Beis Yosef was machmer. So listen to what Reb Lozer Fleckler said. Shamati mi Mori v'Rabbi Agoyin Rabin Shal Yisrael Nishmosein b'Gan Eden Elyon. He's hine. B'Roiv HaShulchan Aruch Das HaMechaber L'Hakel. In Roiv HaShulchan Aruch, the Das of the Mechaber is to be Mekel. V'Ramah min HaMachmirim. And the Ramah is machmer. U'le'inyin miyuch u'mishmosh. But when it comes to this inyin, B'sircha is Mukhlefes HaShita. The Ramah is the Mekel, the Beis Yosef is the machmer. So now the Yudah said that in Roiv HaShulchan Aruch, the Ramah was machmer, the Beis Yosef was Mekel. But when it came to the inyan of glatt, there it was just the opposite. So the Yehuda said, "Ulevai shechachme Yisrael hiskimu lehepach." He said, "Halavai chachme Yisrael would have come out fakert. They would have said that we're going to be mekel like all the coolest of the base Yosef, but at the same time we'll take on this chumra of glatt base Yosef, and we'll look away from all the chumras of the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch about being nish the cool of glatt." He said, why? Ki rabu hamichsholim b'avoyneseinu harabim yikula zu b'miach u'mishmosh. Ma she'enam b'chol ha'kulay she'zachar ha'mechaber. He says, there's more kulays in this one Ramah than in all the other Ramahs combined. In all the Beis Yosefs combined. Amnam, he says, ken ki balnu aleinu v'alzareinu v'adoylem b'medinas ashkenaz u'poylem. Hanim shochen achar Ramah. This is the Kabbalah Neid B'Yehuda said that we have. Moshe emes v'sayrosoy emes u'minoloy sozuah. This is the reverence the Noida B'Yehuda had for the Ramah. Moshe emes v'seirasa emes u'mina loy sezua. And therefore, this is the way it is. But the Ramah, it seems that throughout Shulchan Aruch is a machmer. B'roiv of Shulchan Aruch, the Noida B'Yehuda said, the Ramah was a machmer. Yet, when it came to this Bas Yisrael, when it came to looking for a way to spear this Bas Yisrael of Abyssal Bezioinus, the Ramah, it's an ganze koyach of Chumra, apparently, throughout Shulchan Aruch. But over here, he had a tremendous koyach de Atera. And he said, not just that, he says, you want to say over, you want to spread rumors, Vasichab Gitan, Kolki Hani Milim Malyus Alemra Mishma. You should always say over things like this in my name, because Adarab, I stand by this 100%. Incidentally, as a postscript, and this is brought down, the Aruch HaShulchan brings this as a postscript to this whole tshuva from the Ramah, the Chachamim in Krakow, at the end of the day, they felt that they had to do something to be mechazik, the whole Indian of Shabbos, and they made a takana that from that wedding forward, nobody would be allowed to get married on Erev Shabbos in Krakow. And they said, B'shasat chak, if you have to make a chasana on an Erev Shabbos, he said you could make it in the outskirts of the city. Yeah, you'd be allowed to do it. But in the city of Krakow, it would not be okay. And the reason it wasn't okay, because of this Maisa Shehoya, it's the epic Tshuva Simen Kuf Chaf Hei in Shailos HaTshuva Saramah.